Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. I'll say like Brother Scott, if you've got a Cambridge chain reference, presentation reference Bible, it's on page 1161. Habakkuk. Let's ask our Lord's blessing. Our Father, this evening we call upon you, who is all of our strength, all of our hope, all of our peace. Lord, I ask your blessing this evening. Lord, for the comfort of your people. Lord, we need comfort. Our hearts need to be settled. Speak, I pray. Teach us, Holy Spirit, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. The prophet Habakkuk opens this word from the Lord, with this description, Habakkuk 1:1, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, the heavy toil that this man that God had called to be a prophet, what he saw, what he beheld. The Lord revealed to this prophet the sorrows that the church, and the church being pictured by the nation of Israel, but he saw the burden that the church was going to have to suffer going through this world, and the hatred and the resentment of those that oppressed God's people. And it was a burden to Habakkuk. Verses 2 to 4, chapter 1. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked. Judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Habakkuk grieved over the sufferings that God's people must endure. And he knew that the Lord was going to send destruction. He knew that God was going to send an evil nation, unsympathetic group of people, a heathen nation. And the scriptures set forth that this was a great question that Habakkuk had concerning the hurt and the pain and the destruction God's people were going to suffer. Let's look at verses 6 to 11. For lo, the Lord told Habakkuk, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment, their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves. Their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind. They shall gather the captivity as the sand. They shall scoff at the kings, and princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust, take it. Then shall his mind change. He shall pass over and offend, imputing this, his power, unto his God. The Lord told Habakkuk, this is what I'm going to do for the rebellion of Israel. I'm going to send this evil, fierce nation, a terrible people, and they're going to come through the land, and they're going to take it. And in that last verse, then shall his mind... He's talking about the king of the Chaldeans. What he's going to do is he's going to come in changing his mind. He said it's going to be more fierce because in his mind, he's going to see the great destruction that he has wrought, he thinks, by his hand. And he's going to give all of the honor to the power of his God. He's going to come in. He's going to say, our God beat your God. Your God was not able to save you. And it grieved Habakkuk, because God had said, it's coming. In the past prophets that we looked at, the Lord had said, if you will turn, if you will turn. Habakkuk said, time's up. It's coming. This is it. But I want you to look at verse 5. In the midst of this great chastisement of the Lord, God was going to remember mercy according to his everlasting covenant of grace. Verse 5, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. Now, the interpretation of that verse right there is found. You just hold your finger there, mark your place, and turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts 13. The Apostle Paul gave the interpretation of this great work that God was going to do, and he's going to tell them. He said, now I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and you're not going to believe it. Here's the interpretation. Acts 13:38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, the Lord Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the works of Moses, by the law of Moses. Beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, you despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Now here is the interpretation. This Paul said, now, when Habakkuk made that prophecy under the inspiration of God's Spirit back in the Old Testament, God told the people, because of your rebellion, I'm going to work a work in your midst, and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to work, and you're not going to believe me. The prophecy of Habakkuk and the fulfillment of that prophecy, as stated by Paul, was this, that the Gentiles, those that oppress God's people, here was what, it was the Gentiles that was going to be coming in and was going to come through the land and destroy the land, and fierce, mean, tough, and give all the honor to their gods. And the Lord told Habakkuk, you tell the people, I'm going to work a work. And I'm telling you what I'm going to do. And you're not going to believe it. I'm going to come to you, and the gospel's going to be first preached to you, the Jews. Because of your rebellion, I'm going to send the Gentile nations to come through this land and ravish this land. And by my eternal purpose, grace, and compassion, because I chose to do so, I'm going to show mercy to the Gentiles. Now, I'm telling you, that's what I'm going to do. And you don't believe it, and I'll show you this is so. Look at Acts 13, verse 42.
through 48. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now you remember something. Jews looked on Gentiles as dogs. Not even fit to walk on the ground. Not even fit to breathe the air. They were dogs. And when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the Word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." That was the work that God told Habakkuk, "You tell the people what I'm going to do. I'm going to work this work in the midst of you. And you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. God Almighty is going to show mercy to those that have oppressed us, that hated us, and we them." That's right. It's a marvelous work that the gospel is preached to anybody. That's a miracle of God's grace. I've said this before. It is a miracle of God's grace that we're sitting here tonight. I don't know of another Grace Church that's been here this long. I don't know of one. Maybe there is one. I don't know of it. It is a miracle of God's grace that God Almighty would send the gospel to the Gentiles. It's a marvelous work that any believe it, because Almighty God has given them a heart to do so. But for sure, whether it be the Jews, or whether it be any Gentile, or whether it be anybody, it's damning to the soul to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the midst of the announcement of that impending trouble that Habakkuk was prophesying concerning, the prophet, while praying for God's people, he speaks of the eternal excellency of the Lord's nature, the certainty of His mercy to all that He's everlastingly loved. Here's the message. The Jews had the gospel preached to them. God's going to condemn them in sending a Gentile nation. And not all of the Gentiles, I know that, God was going to save. He judged many of them, just like He did the Jews. But as many as were ordained to eternal life, Jew and Gentile, Paul revealed by Acts under the inspiration of God's Spirit, they believed. I want you to look now back in Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1, look at verse 12. Here's what the prophet sets forth concerning the excellency of God's decision, God's will, God's purpose, or whatever you say. If so, look at verse 12. "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Truly the Lord is from everlasting. He is the eternal God, who does as He will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. He is the God of covenant mercy, the holy God of His people, the Lord who is our righteousness. And He will not uphold or defend
or overlook
rebellion against himself. He said, Lord, thou art of pure eyes, verse 13, than to behold evil. Canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore, now I want you to listen to the boldness. I told some of the men in the study before we came out here. The prophet Habakkuk asked a question that to me is so bold, so forward. I'm thinking, but for the grace of God, God wouldn't put a man in hell immediately for speaking that way. I mean, I think about when I was a kid growing up. I mean, you know, I had so much fear and respect to my dad. Man, I tell you what, you better be real careful. You know, when I spoke to my dad, I better be real careful how I did. Not only what I ask him, but how I ask him. Am I right? I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, it better be asked in the right manner. But I want you to listen to the question of Habakkuk. When Habakkuk was told by the Lord what God was going to do to the Jews, that the Lord was going to show mercy unto the Gentile, work a work that the Jews were not going to believe. And then Habakkuk said, Lord, concerning these people that you're going to send through this land, this people, Lord, that you're going to chasten the nation of Israel by, and this people that you're going to have mercy upon. Lord, I've got a question. Here's the question, starting in verse 13 to the end of the chapter, verse 17. He says, thou art of pure eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he? Do you know what he just asked him? Lord, how is it that you're going to, you who can't even look on iniquity, pure eyes and behold iniquity, how is it, Lord, that you can look upon them that deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devour these Jews that are more righteous than they are? Lord, you that makest men as fishes of the sea, creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take, Lord, what you've done. They take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in the net and gather them in their drag. Therefore, they rejoice. They're glad. Therefore, they sacrifice under their net and burn incense under their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat is plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net, not spare continually to slay the nations? Lord, the enemies of God's people, those that come through and devour, spoil, pilferage. Lord, how is it that they can come through and you don't say anything to them? You see what I'm saying? Man, what a question. But oh, how marvelous are the works of Almighty God in the midst of this great iniquity that's going on. That the Lord would give some a heart and leave others to themselves. And though God's preachers declare this, that God Almighty shows mercy and compassion on some and leaves others to themselves. When the Pharisee Saul of Tarsus was called out of darkness, and the Lord spoke to Ananias and said, Ananias, there's one Saul. I want you to go to Simon the Tanner's house. Saul's there. Behold, he prayeth. And I said, Lord, we've heard of this one. This is a bad fish here. This is a bad apple in the barrel right here. He said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. Almighty God came into this world to save sinners. What was the difference between the Chaldeans and any Jew? What was the difference? Grace of God. That's it. No man, no woman's ever been born in this world deserving the grace of God. The Lord says, I'm going to make a statement to you. Something I'm going to do. You're not going to believe it. The workers of iniquity, they go about to devour God's people, give glory to themselves, thinking that they've done God's service. And Habakkuk said, I've got this question. How is it that you can let this people, these evil people, come to and hold your thought, hold your mouth? And they come to giving all their glory and honor to themselves. And then after that question, Habakkuk said in chapter 2, verse 1, he said, now I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. And I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Here's the heart of God's people. God's watchmen. They listen for God's words. What does God have to say about this? I know this. His way are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. I would never have thought concerning the miracle of God's electing, predestinating grace. God's going to have mercy on whom He'll have mercy. And you can bet this, by and large, it's not the ones I thought it would be. Those that I thought would be, it won't be. I'm going to stand. I'm going to wait on my watch and I'm going to see what God has to say about this. Well, here's what the Lord said, verses 2 and 3 of chapter 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Here's what the Lord said to Habakkuk. When Habakkuk asked him a question, and Habakkuk wisely said, I'm going to stand. I'm going to wait. I'm going to see what the Lord has to say concerning this. What is the answer, Lord, to these that have come through and ravish this land? Lord, you pure eyes than to behold iniquity. You by no means clear the guilty. Lord, how is this? I'm just asking a question. And the Lord said, here's the answer. Now you write this down. Write this down. Those that read it, they have something to hold on to, run with. He said, now this vision is for an appointed time. What he's saying is that God's salvation is for an appointed time. Salvation has an appointment. It's going to come. It's going to be so. And here's the answer. Lord, what is the answer? And here's the answer that the Lord has for everyone concerning deliverance from judgment. Justice. Lord, here's my question and here's God's answer. Verse 4. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. You know, Habakkuk probably thought he was going to get a different answer. Lord, how is it that these can come through
Lord, my question is, how shall thee come through? What is the answer to this? Here's the answer of God. Those that are lifted up, their soul lifted up in self, Jew, Gentile, he's not upright. But those that Almighty God shows mercy to, here's my answer to you. The just shall live by his faith, by Christ's faith. We looked at this. Turn over to Galatians 2:16 again. We just looked at this last Sunday. We would do well to read it again. Knowing Galatians 2:16, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Here's the answer. What is the answer for God showing mercy? Here's the answer. According to His will and His purpose, the just shall live by His faith. His faith. Without faith. His faith. It's impossible to please God. Thanks be unto God that it's not my faith that I stand before the Lord to be looked upon, to be judged. His faith. By faith, we believe that His faith has been imputed to us, robed us in His righteousness. There is surely a day of judgment coming. And in that day, all that have trusted in themselves to be righteous are going to perish. That's what verse 12 says of Habakkuk 2. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity. Spiritually speaking, woe to that man, woe to that woman that thinks that they have built themselves a standing before God Almighty by iniquity, by their works of self-righteousness. The rebels of Almighty God are going to labor. Even in the midst of the fire of God's judgment. And it's going on right now. Now think of this right now. In the midst of God's judgment, he that believeth not is condemned already. In the midst of God's judgment right now, in this world right now, men are laboring and thinking that they're building themselves a salvation before God Almighty that's going to stand. Look at verse 13 of chapter 2. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity, and all that they're doing is vain, is what he said. Oh, but in the midst of this awful judgment, the Lord is going to be honored in the salvation of His elect. Even in the midst of what's going on right now. Look at verse 14. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In the midst of this great judgment that's going on, God Almighty is having mercy on His people. In the midst of what's going on, men are thinking that they're building themselves a standing before God. And Almighty God, in the midst of judgment to those that He's left to Himself, the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. There's some that's sitting here right now tonight that Almighty God has shown mercy to. And in the midst of judgment all around us, God has mercy
false preachers, directed by Satan himself, shall go about to spiritually intoxicate the minds of men, to keep them from the truth. That's the desire, because they're speaking from their father, the devil. Who do you think motivates false preachers? Look at verse 15 of chapter 2. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest thou drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Verse 18, 19. What profiteth the graven image? I was reading that again today and relating that. I'm telling you, somebody said, "Well, I don't worship an image. I don't actually worship it. Worship, you know, a man that thinks that he has a free will. He is the image that he's thinking that he's caused to talk." Now you think about this. A man thinking that he has the power to establish righteousness before God, he is the idol that he's worshiping. Now, 18, 19. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image, the teacher of lies, maker of his work, trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood. Right here. This wood. Awake to the dumb stone, arise, and it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver. There's no breath at all in the midst of it. Men think by their own ability, I'm a walking, talking child of God. I have made myself righteous before God by my own free will. Men think that they can bring life out of death. Oh, you say, well, that's talking about a piece of wood right there. That's talking about gold and silver. I'm telling you, man by nature thinks that he is gold and silver before God. Look at verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. When the Lord Jesus Christ, on the day of his crucifixion, cried, "It is finished." Salvation established for his people. Redemption wrought by his precious blood. Let God be true. It is finished. Salvation is of the Lord. Now, what is the word to all men? The Lord is in his holy temple, and let all the earth keep silence before him. Thus saith the Lord is the word. Let the earth be quiet before God. Hear his word with respect. He is the sovereign of all. Let us open not our mouths toward him in doubt. Let us not think that we're anything other than unprofitable servants, not adding any profit unto the Lord. We are the objects of his mercy and grace. Without him we can do nothing. Well, the Lord has revealed to Habakkuk what God's going to do. He's going to show mercy. He's going to judge unbelief. And he's going to show mercy to those that Habakkuk was drawn back with. Lord, how is it? And God told him, he said, the just are going to live by faith. And now Habakkuk can praise under our God in chapter 3. And this whole third chapter, really, I truly believe is a song. It's a song of praise. He says in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 3, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigeonoth. I looked up that word shiga onoth, and this is what it says. It is a prayer that is set to music. A prayer. A psalm that is set to singing. And if the Lord gives a glimpse of His sovereignty, and that's what He's done to Habakkuk. I'm going to have mercy. I'm going to have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. Not who men say, not who men think. I'm the Lord. He does as He will in the army of heaven. Does He have the right to take and show mercy to the oppressors of God's people who before were all Saul of Tarsus and me and you? Does God have the right to do that? Yes, He does. And then Habakkuk sings this song. And the Lord opened the eyes of Habakkuk to see His glory and revealed His justice in wrath and His mercies upon those that didn't know Him, opposed Him, had no idea. In wrath He remembered mercy. And this is a song and a reminder and a remembrance of continued mercy. He said, and this is a verse that I spent quite a bit of time on, this one verse, and I'll tell you what, if I do not err, I'll tell you what I believe the verse means. I looked up these places. I looked up everything that I could possibly look up on this third verse, and I'll tell you what I think it truly means. God, in this singing, He's singing a song is what He's doing. And let's read. Oh Lord, verse 2, I've heard Thy speech and was afraid. Oh Lord, revive Thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. And he continues singing, and he said, God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. This is the only book except Psalms where that word Selah, stop, be quiet, just muse upon this. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise. Mount Paran, I found out, according to Deuteronomy 33:2, was near Mount Sinai. And it was the place where the nation of Israel took their journey. After Mount Sinai, they went through into the wilderness of Paran. It was a 3-day journey from Mount Sinai, and there the people rested after the law of God was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. Moses came down, and there was the people that made that golden calf Aaron had. Moses broke the tablets of the Ten Commandments, went back up. God wrote them again. They left after that. They went to this place, the wilderness of Paran. There, they were resting. But from that place in the wilderness, we learned that every place in this world that seems to be a place of rest is nothing more than just another wilderness. There is no rest in this world. The only rest that we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Scripture sets forth in that third verse, the Holy One, God came from Teman. Teman. The word Teman there, it means the south. Came from the south. And from what I can find, literally, God shall come from the south. Meaning, I think, Bethlehem. South of Jerusalem. The same Lord who was coming from the south in Teman is the Holy One from Mount Paran. The mountain, the wilderness right there. And basically, this is what Habakkuk was setting forth. From the giving of the law until the Lord Jesus Christ came to this world incarnate, the Lord has led His people, kept His people. The Lord Himself, the Anointed One, will keep and lead His people throughout. That is, as closely as I can tell, the meaning of that third verse. And I pray that if I do err, the Lord might be pleased to show me. But I do think that it means that Habakkuk is setting forth, God's going to revive His work. His people that have been oppressed by those Chaldeans and everything else in this world, from the giver of the law Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the deliverer who shall keep and save His people from their sins. But I know this, in sending judgment into this world, and rightly so, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to deal with sin. Look at verses 5 to 7 of chapter 3. Before Him went the pestilence, and burning coals went forth at His feet. He stood and measured the earth. He beheld and drove asunder the nations, and everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills did bow. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of Cushan, Ethiopia, in affliction, and the curtains in the land of Midian that did tremble. God Almighty is a just God. And here's Habakkuk singing. He's singing this song of praise. You're just. Look at verse 9 to 11. Thy bow was made quite naked according to the oaths of the tribe, even thy words, Selah. Thou didst cleave the earth with rivers. The mountains saw thee, and they trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered his voice and lifted up his hands on high. The sun and the moon stood still in their habitation at the light of thine arrows they went, at the shining of thy glittering spear. The whole earth, Habakkuk said, stood still when Almighty God sends judgment. The whole earth has respect. Him who is the judge of all. Oh, but in the wrath that Almighty God is surely going to send. Still, Habakkuk said he remembers mercy. Verse 8. Was the Lord displeased against the rivers? Whenever God sent blood, turned the river in Egypt into blood. Was He mad at the rivers? That's what He's asking. Was thine anger against the rivers? Was thy wrath against the sea that thou didst ride upon thine horses and thy chariots of salvation? Look at verse 12. Thou didst march through the land in indignation. Thou didst tread the heathen in anger. Thou wentest forth for the salvation of thy people. Even for salvation with thine anointed, thou woundest the head out of the house of the wicked by discovering the foundation unto the neck, Selah. Lord, you went forth for the salvation of your people. All that you're doing in judgment, setting forth that you are a just God and a Savior from everlasting, Lord your God. Well, in closing, the heavy-hearted prophet again reveals his respect for the God of all power and justice and mercy. Habakkuk had said back in verse 2 of that third chapter, Lord, I've heard thy speech. I was afraid. Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath. Remember mercy. Lord, I know you're a just God. And I know that anything you do in wrath, in judgment, is deserved. I know that. But Lord, I'm asking you, have mercy. Lord, according to your everlasting covenant of grace, Lord, have mercy. Let me ask you this evening. Can you not, in quoting the voice of the prophet, say, Lord, I know whatever I'd get, I'd be deserving of. Lord, if you put me in hell, I deserve it. I know what I am somewhat by nature. But Lord, I'm asking for mercy. I'm asking you to have mercy on me. Lord, I'm asking you to have mercy on your people. I'm asking God to have mercy on our young people, on our wives and husbands. Lord, remember mercy. Look at verse 16. When I heard of what he had done, walking through in verse 15 through the sea with his nine horses, the heap, great water. When I heard, Lord, of your judgment, my belly trembled. My lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered into my bones. I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he cometh up unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. My brethren, you who are convinced of the just deserving of God's wrath, you're going to admit, as Daniel 10:8 says, our comeliness, our beauty is turned into corruption. We know this, but for the grace of God, we would see the glittering sword of His justice. But thanks be unto Him who is our only hope. There's mercy with the Lord. The last three verses of this book, verses 17, 18, 19, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive tree, will fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. There shall be no herd in the stalls. What Habakkuk is saying is everything else can fall apart. Everything else can fail. Yet, verse 18, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Oh, that God Almighty might be pleased to give me a heart like this. In the midst of what we see going on around us, I can tell you just as sure as I'm sitting, more sure than I'm standing here, everything that this world gets in judgment is deserved. But here's what I know. But for the grace of God, I'd be doing the same thing. If God shows mercy to anybody, it is according to His goodwill and pleasure. Lord, everything else is going to fail. But I know this. You're a merciful God. Lord, I'm asking you in wrath, remember mercy. For Christ's sake.